The following podcast contains some strong language and some very average opinions. It's probably best if you don't listen at all.
The Roaring Peacock Podcast.
Welcome back to the Roaring Peacock match review. And you know who else is back? Leeds! Leeds are fucking back! We're fucking back, baby! Joining me and you, dear listener, on the podcast today is Ross from the Man on the Post pod.
All right, lads. I thought this league was supposed to be hard. Walking it.
And Alex, you can follow him on Twitter at Riot Badger.
Please don't.
And my name is Adonis. You know me as the Adalites. We're fucking back, baby. We're going to the Champions League, motherfuckers. Ow! Yeah. We're going to be so fucking unbearable. Leeds!
I don't think you were saying that in the first 20 minutes, though, were you? Holy crap, no. I was panicking. God.
Yeah.
No, I turned around. I was at the pub. I was with a couple of mates, and I turned around to my mate. I said, after 5 minutes, I said, yep, we're getting dicked here. I can see it. I knew we were going to get dicked at some point. It's going to happen now, and I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. It's City.
Yeah. No, man.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? They look quick and big and strong and athletic and made us look like little boys in that first 20 minutes. But yeah, we grew into it and we're Leeds. We didn't get bullied off.
Tell you who's good, Ross. Fucking Leeds United. Well, that's who's good.
Yes, we are. We are very good. That was great, wasn't it? I mean, 7 points from those first four games. I'm over the moon at that.
Yeah.
I thought kind of 4 points was my kind of aim when that the fixtures were released for those first four games. 4 points would have been fine. Seven? Fucking amazing.
Yeah, and one of them points against Man City and nearly getting a point against the champions of England.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
It'll do.
Description from the group chat that I'm in, that Ian Pervader made Mendy look like a fat receptionist, which I think is just perfect.
One of those ones that's like, oh, you'd like to talk to him? Yeah, I'll put you straight through.
Stop all my calls. Oh, sorry, I can't. that game was made by them substitutions. That two substitutions for Ian and for Big Rod.
Yeah.
It just absolutely changed the game. Mendy's career was ended. And Rodrigo he was massively up for this game as soon as he came on. Like, there were people on Twitter saying that, you know, Tyler was doing all right and he was good on the ball and stuff. And yeah, it was all right, but it was fair to middling. And he wasn't making any sort of inroads for me. No. Swapping for Big Rod and you see the gulf in class, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Roberts was a passenger. He was getting involved, but there was nothing kind of coming from it. It'd just be a safe ball back to someone else in midfield or a straight pass. But yeah, Rodrigo made a huge difference. Just that forward drive. Yeah,
that little bit of work that when Bamford opened his body to pass it into Tyler and then he put Dallas in. That was a really nice move in the first half.
Yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, I thought it was a bit anonymous.
Rodrigo, or should we say Rodrigo?
Rodrigo.
Because fucking
hat trick, shouldn't he?
34 minutes, 25 touches, 14 of 18 successful passes, 5 touches in the opponent's box, 4 ball recoveries, 3 shots, 2 chances created, hit the woodwork twice, 1 successful take on, and 1 fucking very sweet goal in which I frightened some of the members of the pub.
Yeah, he was phenomenal.
He was so good. It was so good.
I leapt up into the middle of the room. Like, I leapt up off my stool, landed somewhere in the middle of the room, and was like, yes! Fucking yeah!
They'll never show another Leeds game again now. Oh, that weird Orcombe.
No, I thought it was in Newcastle because Newcastle keep having to follow us on Sky.
Yeah.
Who's watching that? Newcastle Burnley's on right now. No, you're all right.
You've been to gigs like that, haven't you? So, like, you know, they put on the really good band and then the headline is some no mark.
Yeah.
that's what this is now. Oh, thanks for sticking around, Mum, Dad. Buy us T-shirts.
Yeah, Steve Bruce versus Sean Dyche is now on Sky Sports.
Battle of the minds there, isn't it? Jeez.
Anyway, let's talk about the Mighty Whites because fucking hell, what a game that was. Oh my God. We had so many chances. Ayling through, one-on-one, Bamford through, one-on-one. I mean, their keeper has kept them in it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Mm.
He made some fantastic saves. The one from Ayling wasn't quite as flash as the one from Rodrigo that hit into the bar, but it was probably more vital because we scored then. We were massively on top for the entire second half. As it turns out, we were anyway, yeah. But their heads would have dropped hugely there. But yeah, great save. He was worth the money they paid for him because no matter what they spend on the defenders, it doesn't seem to help much, does it?
No, it doesn't. They're suffering at the back then, guys.
What I noticed, what I have noticed over the past few seasons with this team specifically, is when we come up against a really difficult team, we can suffer a little bit to begin with until we figure them out.
Yeah. Last season it took 15 minutes. This season it's taken 20 minutes. It's 5 extra minutes against a team like Man City. Whereas last season it'd be 15 minutes before Pablo kind of figured out what we needed to do and made it happen. Yeah. And we're doing this without Pablo, by the way.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And these second half stats are absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, we won the possession battle 53%. 1-0 on goals, obviously. Shots, 8-11. So they had 3 more, but we had 5 shots on target and they didn't manage a single shot on target.
Wow.
I do remember that, actually, a couple of times. One when Mahrez was moving onto his left foot and a couple where Sterling was getting onto his right and with De Bruyne as well. And they just, all of a sudden, they turned into fucking Geisley or something. Like the balls were heading into the rosette.
In the final 16th of the pitch, they were singing Geisley. There's one bit though where De Bruyne like makes a run from his own half and he is flat out. And I mean, I was very impressed with his not to 60. And he gets through, he gets the ball back as a 1-2 and it goes out for a corner and it closes, it does a close up of him. It's like I would be dead. There would be a stretcher, an ambulance, oxygen, even for half of that effort, you know. So they're a massively fit team. And I think that's the best team we've come up against so far, quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think Liverpool, after 3 or 4 games in, I think they would be tougher,
much more
arguably
than
tougher.
Yeah,
and even potentially more of a challenge than City are, because I mean, you can just see, like for example, against Arsenal in the Carabao Cup, they were just incredible.
We take Red Bull Cup. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I mean, tackles won in that second. Just going back to the second half stats, 16 tackles to their 5. Our Melier made 1 save compared to the 4 that Edison made.
Wow.
So we were all over them in that second half. I was so proud of my team. I walked into the pub today and I was getting absolute pelters because I'm wearing this...
the champions.
I'm wearing this square ball shirt and it couldn't say Leeds any more times. You could probably fit it on a couple more times, to be fair.
Looks like Cop Cats.
But people were saying, oh, who do you support then? Huh? Who do you support?
Yeah. I love them times in pubs when it's a little bit fractious.
Yeah, and I just couldn't be prouder, that's all.
Yeah.
The last time I watched a Leeds game in a pub was the Derby second leg. I've not managed to actually watch football games with anyone else but myself since then because that was too heartbreaking. Just can't bring myself to do it.
That was an experience in football, was that? I didn't think I'd experience anything like that.
Yeah, but that, 2 years later, we've just drawn with Man City and we've battered them for the second half. And like Danny said about the, I couldn't be more proud of that defence and Calvin Phillips and Matthijs Glik in particular. Those guys, he absolutely ran the socks off. I thought Phillips was a bit off the ball first half.
Yeah, first half.
Some straight passes and he was just getting run over, I think. He's probably never played against someone as good as Kevin De Bruyne, but second half, he was just standing in De Bruyne's way.
Yeah.
And just being more stronger than him. Just try and run through me if you can't get around me.
It felt a little bit like we respecting him a bit too much for the first 20 minutes. Like we were like in reverence of playing Man City. And then after they scored, it's like, oh, actually, we've got a game to play here. And we just played his game and came well back into it. So
there was one time where De Bruyne got the ball. He was making an approach and he shaped to turn onto his right and shoot. And Calvin just fucking said, no.
No,
mate. You're in fucking Beeston now, you cunt. I like just shoulder barged him, got the ball. I was like, fuck yeah. Yes, KP. I said that loud in the pub. People are like looking at me the whole time.
There's a tweet I've retweeted from Chris Wilson. 7.2 million combined for Ayling, Dallas, Click and Cooper. 7.2 million.
Jeez, what a bargain.
Ruben Diaz cost 63 million this week and probably earns more than that in a year than those four boys do combined and costs combined. Yeah, they're holding their own with the best in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't buy one of Diaz's toenails.
No. Yeah, they were just phenomenal. The defence, I was so worried about Cooper up against Sterling in this. I thought Sterling would just have him on toast and first half, he was pushing it, but he was more over towards Cock and Ayling's side. But Ayling looked like Cafu in this game. Up and down that wing. No one getting past him. He won four flops on Sterling as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I wonder how the flop predictor just didn't learn, did he?
Yeah. Sterling just didn't learn. He just kept going near him. He was on the floor straight away every time.
Yeah.
Now, truthfully, guys, did any of you actually enjoy watching that?
Second half, yep. First half, no.
Okay.
First half.
Yeah,
because for me, it was the opposite.
Right.
Like the first half, I was like, well, the first 20 minutes, after the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, okay. We could lose this. We could really lose it by a lot. And I don't mind. And it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then when we came back into it, then I started to get more and more of a burn in it. You know what I mean?
We win this now.
And I was like, no, we could fucking win this. We could beat fucking City, you know? And then my tension grew and grew and grew. And then I was not enjoying it. Then it was back to a normal Leeds game again. Like, oh, we've got a fucking, no. Come on, Kepi. Yes. Well done, Kepi.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was because the first half we were out of control. We didn't have the ball. We couldn't do what we were supposed to do. And that's why it's stressful. Because I know once we've got the ball and we've got the confidence, I'm quite confident we'll make chances.
Yeah,
and we didn't have that. And that in the second half, it was like, right, okay, get the ball, start again, give it to the small child on the wing, Mr. Pervedo Ocampo, and he'll just go past them like he's nobody there. And the speed he's got is unreal.
Ridiculous. There's that one point where he chased Mendy back into his own half, turned, and it just raced up the other way. He was gone within a split second. Mendy had no chance. He had to get something for his own good because Pervedo was just repeatedly beating him.
Strong as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, for a little guy.
I think
strong.
He's got a point to prove, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he shrugged Mendy off.
Yeah, he's got a point to prove with him being ex-Man City, I guess. But
yeah.
If he, you know, he comes up and he does that every game, he's got to start now. For me, if we haven't got Harrison, he's got to start before Ali Oscar does.
Dan James can get fucked. He can stay at Man United. Don't want him. We've got Pervedo. Don't need him.
Yeah.
So Bielsa was asked in the press conference, can you take pleasure watching a game like that during the game? And he said, during the game, it's difficult to enjoy whilst watching. And that's why I kind of mentioned that. It's just, I was not enjoying it at the end there. I really was not. I was fucking so stressed. That's probably why I'm so skinny, actually.
Worried.
Yeah.
I think the championship has broken me because I cannot get stressed about these games anymore. I was in my same zen state as I was during the Fulham game throughout this one. I was just enjoying watching us go toe-to-toe with a team that's amassed over, 200-odd points in the last couple of seasons in the Premier League. But and we were right there with them.
What gets me is it's a team that are on the same league level. As in, this isn't an FA Cup game where they're fielding a weakened team. It's not a Carabao, BTEC, Red Bull Cup, is it? This is they want the points as much as we do. Probably more because they want a challenge.
Yeah.
But and then we've gone toe-to-toe with them, like you say, and that's it's so good to see. So good to watch.
Yeah. And fair enough, they didn't have Aguero, and he may have made a difference, as Liam Gallagher's just tweeted. On. But I mean,
God, no. Well, how many players have we listed off just then that cost 7 mil in total?
Yeah.
Fucking, nah. They're swimming in fucking oil and blood.
Yeah. But they should have more strikers than two strikers.
Yeah.
If they've got so much money, how have they only got two forwards at the football club? And the third one being Rory Delap's son. That's a weird setup they've got going on there.
I did nearly type his name down as Rory Delap earlier. I was like, I'm so old. Speaking of feeling old, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Leeds scored on the scoreboard, they had the dancing men from the cop scoreboard from the 90s.
Yeah.
And Ed in our group chat posted it and goes, what the fuck's this? I just can't believe I live in a world where there's people old enough to operate a phone that don't remember the cop scoreboard. So yeah, I'm going to retire now and that's it. I'm going to go and find myself a retirement home. I mean,
get some Werther's in there.
I'm all for bringing that stuff back. I remember when we used to score, I think it was after when we first got that that gigantic scoreboard, and they had like blue stars, like go. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
Bring it back, baby. I love that shit.
Do you remember the cartoon referees when somebody get a card? And it was like a really caricature, like fat referee, like yellow card. Yeah, bring stuff like that back, you know.
Yeah.
This is a bit left field actually. But do you remember Brian Lara's cricket?
Yeah.
And there was that little duck who, when you got out, there was that little duck who waddled off. Oh, and
yeah. I mean that the dancing men. I recreated that whole thing in GIF form, pixel by pixel, from watching old season review videos because I wanted to see it again. And that's been doing the rounds for a little bit. And I'm just hoping that they've used my GIF. I would be really pleased if they did, because it's one pixel too far to the right, the centre man. So,
oh, really?
And every time I see it, it annoys me. So I need to get a better photo of it just so I can see if they nick mine. I'd be happy for them to do it, but yeah.
But speaking of retro stuff, do you remember Hamsterdam? Hamsterdam?
Oh, yeah.
Dick-a-dee-da-dee-a-dope.
I don't need that. That's going to be stuck in my head now. Yes, the other day it was the llama song. Here's a llama, there's a llama, here's another fuzzy llama. Yeah, I don't need any more retro. Just the dancing men on the scoreboard, please, for me. That's fine.
Okay, let's get back to the game. Bielsa also said it took an immense physical effort. And I remember thinking about the 75th, 80th minute.
Yeah.
I've never seen Leeds this tired.
Stuart Dallas was in his bed by the 80th minute.
Bamford was on his last legs.
Yeah, there was a point where Bamford chased a through ball from Rodrigo to the far corner and he lost the ball, but he absolutely busted the gut to try and get back to at least halfway to win it back. And we saw after the Sheffield United game how knackered he was trying to give an interview while blown in through his lungs. I imagine it's much as similar tonight.
But the good thing about it is that now we don't have any midweek games until December. So we've got a lot of recovery time so they can run themselves into the ground and have enough time to recover.
So, 16 days off till our next game now.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do it. We're fifth in the Premier League. Just let that sink in for a little bit.
Have you seen this fucking fly that's in here?
I did see you looking around.
Fuck me. It's like this fucking big.
You're getting attacked.
Well, there's fucking.
It's Ian Pervader.
Is it a fly? better be a fly. Fucking hell, that's big.
That's what she said.
About
nothing in particular,
couch.
Yeah.
Okay, Bielsa said that it's very difficult to talk about transfers because they're unstable and he'd rather talk about once they happen.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Pervader.
Yeah.
Poveda had an excellent game. He, on the temptation to start Rodrigo, he said he is progressively showing his qualities and maybe the pace of the game was catching up with him by the end. Basically, he says the best is yet to come.
That means Tyler's done for.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, not quite yet, Tyler. But you need to...
Special but guest.
He needs to pull his socks up, yeah. And a very unwanted, very unspecial guest.
Did you hear Gary Neville?
I just need to check if I've left a window open.
And we join Adonis on the fly break here. He's opened a window and let it fly in, and now he's battling it to the death.
It flies at 9 o'clock at night in Austria.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't come out past 4 in Hampshire.
No, I haven't. That's why the cunt's still in here.
All right.
What you need, what my boss does is he gets a vacuum cleaner and just vacuums.
Really?
Flies, yeah.
Oh my God. No, I'm not that cruel.
It's an absolute brute. Sorry, mate. Go on.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's just a fly, but I've got a conscience. That's the other reason why I'm fucking tiny. Okay, so Champions League. We're going to the Champions League, are we?
No.
We fucking just dicked Man City. We've had their pants down.
Yeah, we've got to do it twice.
No, I'm
very happy with how we started, and I don't think we can maintain this sort of start until the rest of the season. If we do, I will happily let you all call me a cunt, but I'm not going to do it. I think if we stay up, great, and then next season is going to be the difficult one without Bielsa if you lose. I'm already worried about that. And sorry, I'm not a very positive person after
going. It's not going to happen, Alex. He's never leaving. Yeah, don't worry.
I hope not.
Just for like reference, like it took Aston Villa 8 games to get 6 points last season, and they survived in the last third season.
Yeah, shit.
You think Fulham and West Brom are down? Like, there's one relegation spot to play for, and we're nowhere near that.
I think Sheffield United are already down.
We need.
Yeah, can't score any goals.
We need 11 more wins.
Is that it?
To get to 40.
It's not a lot, is it?
Historically.
Yeah, it must be.
40, safe.
Cool. Yeah, let's do that. Fine.
Fulham and West Brom have got a point between them so far this season.
So, safe by Christmas. This is what I'm predicting. No. Safe by January, I'll say. 40 points, January. And then we can just push right on for the fucking Champions League spots. But you know what it felt like today? It felt like the 2000-2001 season or something like that. It felt like we were competing with the best and we were besting them.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, Rodrigo, if they had a goalkeeper, if they had fucking Alex McCarthy or someone, we'd have scored 5 goals or something.
Yeah. Yeah, because Ayling would have scored at the end of the first half. Rodrigo would have scored from the header. Oh, let's not think about that, though. We got a point.
Yeah. It's a cliche, isn't it? You'd have taken this at the start. You would have taken it.
You're right.
But
yeah.
It's still fantastic, is that? A point against Manchester City is fucking brilliant. And I got my prediction right. It's a draw, so I get a point.
That's true. That is true.
How good is Robin Koch, by the way? He's a different man. In those first 2 games, we looked a bit shaky. He is an absolute wall at the back.
Yeah, he's kicking on every game now. I didn't miss Ben White watching him today at all.
No.
No.
And watching Ben White, I didn't miss him either in the game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Watching Brighton, I didn't miss him either.
Yeah. No. Poor Ben.
Poor Ben White, man. Yeah. Fucking hell.
It just shows you how important the coach is. Every time I see Graham Potter's face, I think, you can't coach a team. Fucking life. You look like Luciano Becchio's dad.
Well, fucking hell. We've got to think about some kind of structure for this shit. Normally, I'm like writing little things down in the game that I saw, but I was just at the pub today and I was just kind of enjoying myself. So
I think this is better. I like this.
Yeah, I think if you just keep
the
shock sort of like raw thing of what we saw, rather than now we're into the third minute and Luke Ayling slides out into the advertising hoardings. Yeah, you don't want to do that, do you? That's what we kind of did with Liverpool, because I did the same thing. I made all the notes, like, second minute, what the fuck is he doing? Oh, shit, we're 1-0 down. Nah, yeah, I think you've got to take it as your reaction to the whole of the game, and it's like, that was just, it was stressful for that first 20 minutes. The rest of the game was just like, hang on, we're on the same level as these.
Yeah.
The amount of money we have invested toe-to-toe and doing quite well against a team that is hundreds of millions of pounds. Didn't they put a new player in that was 60-odd million?
Like, yeah, £63 million centre-back.
And Llorente can't even make the starting lineup for us. So, you know, we've got League One Liam starting for us at centre-back, which is much more my name. It just shows you.
A right winger playing left-back. Yep. Luke Ayling didn't want
Macedonian Bristol City didn't want him.
He had a kind of up and down game, didn't he, Alioski? He almost played them in the first
that diving couple of minutes header was with a backwards header. Was a perfect assist just for the wrong fucking team.
Yeah.
Bamba almost got a long goal. Oh, that was a cracking header. It was.
Alioski strikes me as he's like one of these dogs who, if he gets too excited, he just loses his head and runs around fucking everywhere with absolutely no direction.
Yeah, just chasing.
But if you train him well, he'll really do a job for you.
Yeah.
And I think that he was just so excited to be starting because obviously he's been on the bench the last few times. I think he just lost his head a bit. He was just so excited to be on the pitch.
Yeah, I think that's about fair. He almost had a chance. He had a good header. I think if he was an inch or two taller.
Yeah. He got it well to it. Got it for that one. I mean, to get in that right position and get up to it, that's good, really.
Kyle Walker costs £50 million and he cannot defend.
Yeah. I saw him ambling up front as well. He thought he'd give it a go and it was like, oh God, what are you doing, mate?
Yeah.
I think the biggest positive that I can take from today's game was Rodrigo's performance. And Poveda as well did really well, and Cock. So I looked at, I'll go into it a bit more when we do the Tuesday maincast. But I found this site that has stats, and you can really look through them. You can really like filter through different players for the whole of the division,
right?
And Cock's stats are right up there. They're right up there. He's really performing as one of the best defenders.
You say Cox right up there?
In the league. Yeah. I did.
But
can't you feel it?
Oh, hello. It's by request. It's by request. People want the Cox jokes, so.
That's true.
But speaking of stats, did you see that Sky put the wrong stats up for shots on target for Man City?
Yeah, I saw that. 23 shots, 14 on target.
14 off target.
Yeah. I do not remember Melio making 14 saves.
They also thought we were playing 3-5-2, which was odd.
Last half-time, I don't know if you heard, just as they were coming back to the game, Jamie Redknapp said that Leeds need to stop playing such fancy football and go to just lumping it up to Bamford and trying to win those second balls. Cheers, Jamie. Tactical insight there.
He's earned his money there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Jamie, when are you getting your coach's license?
Yeah.
Because there's an opening for Burnley. Burnley are looking for a succession plan.
What did he say? I tweeted it. Redknapp says Bielsa needs to throw out all the training and tactics he's taken years to develop and just knock it long to Bamford and try and win those second balls.
Jesus. So I'm waiting for some sort of statement about him not speaking English and, you know, coming over here taking English managers' jobs. He's got his medals and his coaching badges. Why ain't he employed as Leeds manager? Fuck off.
It was quite nice to know on the commentary they asked Gary Neville about why he didn't succeed at Valencia when he had players like Rodrigo and Ferran Torres.
Yeah.
Well, they were different players.
He's quite self-effacing with it, which is good. It's like, oh, I should have probably played him where he's being played here by Bielsa, not outright.
I don't like that. I'm starting to like Gary Neville.
I'm
feel right.
Uncomfortable with it. But he's, if you compare him to Carra's disgusting.
Oh, God,
And Redknapp, also disgusting, obviously. Yeah. Neville, I'll actually listen to. He's got a decent opinion, but he's still scum, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's still qualified.
I spent a large proportion of my youth hating him. yeah. and calling him King Rat. They were brothers Rat. Gary Neville's a King Rat and Phil Neville brother Rat. And yeah, so it's very difficult when he's likable. It's just, it's a similar thing with Marcus Rashford.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, can you fucking, can you not? Yeah. Can you stop being so nice? I mean, yeah, okay, save the kids. And that's you should do that. You probably should do that. But can you just move to another club or something? Or just be a different person, you fucking scum.
And Gary Neville comes out with a good opinion. Yeah, you're right. For fuck's sake.
It's very uncomfortable.
But do you reckon the world knows that Leeds back now? That it's not a fluke. You know, we are actually performing well. It's not just the momentum from last season. We've performed well against Liverpool, Man City. We beat Fulham and we beat Sheffield United. I think
our lowest possession stats were against Fulham, which doesn't make any sense. Oh.
Scotty Parker.
How do they have almost more possession? Yeah, Scotty's Blardigan was on the ball.
I think it's that second half. When we just lost it, didn't we? We lost it dead from 4-1. They just had all the possessions.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Scotty knows our patterned play. Oh, yeah. He knows how to get around that.
Yeah, still didn't beat us.
So that's what happened with Fulham. they won the possession battle, but they conceded 4 goals. So unlucky for them.
I was that worried about this game that I don't even know what we've got next now. Because I want planning after this. It's like, that's it. We're just going to be expelled from the league when we get 6-0. So, who have we got next?
Wolves on the 19th at Elland Road.
Ah, well,
Monday
shit
night him. Football.
Right.
Yeah. They've been a bit suspect so far. Our next four are Wolves, Villa, Leicester, and Palace. 9 points? 10 points, maybe?
So, in answer to your question there, Alex, do people think we're back or know we're back? Well, one thing I can say is Leeds fans do. Oh, yeah. Leeds fans will be so fucking unbearable now on social media, giving it large, including myself. I'm including myself here.
We're trying so hard to keep a lid on it, but it's getting increasingly harder every single week.
I mean, Europa League or some silverware, domestic silverware, and we'll all be happy, won't we? I mean,
we don't want to win the league this year.
Performances deserve at least.
That's next year.
Yeah.
But yes, so Leeds fans know we're back. We are back. We are fucking back. We're back. And I think the rest of the footballing world will take a little while to catch up and wake up. But yeah, I think it's also important to remember that when Bielsa was at Bilbao, the first meeting between him and Guardiola ended 2-2. And then the next two games didn't go so well for Bilbao. So I think it probably is important to remember, as you keep reminding everybody, Alex, that one day Bielsa will leave. And I don't need you to keep reminding me that every time we speak.
Sorry, I've got separation issues, so I just plan for everybody to leave. So, I think we've got to have a succession plan. We have got to have a succession plan. And from my line of work, you've got to have, you've got to know who's going to go into that position after that person leaves. If somebody gets really good and is sniped as a talent, you've got to line somebody else up. And that's exactly what we've got to do with Leeds, is we can't go back to the fucking cycle of Hockaday and Heckingbottom and, you know, your shitty managers. We need somebody who is as good as or better than Bielsa, and I don't think you can get much better. We have really shot for the moon with this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big international manager next time, isn't it? They're targeting Conte and Ranieri. It's got to be someone of kind of that level. We can't go back to, as nice as it would be to have Colbron carry on, but I mean, Huddersfield is shit and he's not doing much.
I can't see me admiring a manager as much as Bielsa. I cannot see it.
No.
But we've got, Ross is right, we've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep this momentum and this progress going. But yeah, I mean, what I was going to say is that we should keep in mind that we probably will hit a bad run of form at some point. So, yeah, just to keep our feet on the ground, because I'm probably the worst one of it. I'm like, we're fucking going to the Europa League, baby. Get your tickets booked. We're back.
Yeah, I'll temper that slightly. Yeah, it's... I think it's good to be pleased and it's good to be optimistic, but also you got to. I think Leeds fans are bad at this because we are still in the mindset, because we've been in the mire for so fucking long, that we think we've got to win every game. And I think if we start losing a couple of games, that's when everybody's going to start, oh, well, why don't we just get Big Sam in, because he knows the league.
Yep.
And I can't stand that, because I will go fucking crazy.
Or turn games off after 20 minutes because we weren't 4-0 up.
I mean, it must be a shock for new fans who've like watched us win 4-3, lose 4-3, win 4-3, win 1-0, and then go toe-to-toe with Man City. Yeah. It's like, we're going to have a really shitty 0-0 against Wolves now, and they're like, oh, this isn't the Leeds that I fell in love with, Ross McCormack.
Sack it off.
This isn't the soccer team I fell in love with 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
Leeds United soccer team, what are you doing?
This Marcello Bielsa has dropped the ball.
Sorry to our American
listeners. I'm not sorry, you shouldn't have voted Trump. It's your fault. I wouldn't have done it otherwise. Yep.
We've now got 16 days to our next game, so that's a lot of time for Bielsa to work with the players, isn't it? They're going to be raring to go, I think, come Wolves.
To be clear, I'm very happy for any new fans. Like, it's certainly... I would certainly be interested in a Bielsa team if he was managing a different country and I somehow came across them, you know, for sure. Like, what the fuck? This is the best football I think I've ever seen anyone play.
Yeah, I came close to buying a Newell's Old Boys top the other day. But then again, I'm from Yorkshire and it was €70, so I didn't.
No chance.
I've got Nora's going to make me one. She's going to make one from the 1975 style with the little collar like that. You know, the one that... there's this black and white photo of Bielsa and he's fucking smoking hot.
Yep.
Like, he's like, oh my God. He's devastating. He's absolutely devastating.
Yeah.
And it's got like this weird collar and it goes down like this. So yeah, getting my future wife to make that for me.
Nice.
Get to work. Make me a Bielsa shirt.
Get in the kitchen and make me a... No, forget the sandwich. Bielsa shirt.
Yeah. More
important. But yeah, that just shows you, doesn't it? I mean, did any of us think, oh, we'll get a retro Barnsley shirt when Heckingbottom came? No, we didn't. Or, you know, when... Or a Peterborough one when we've got... What's his face? Steve Evans.
Christ.
Or a Cyprian one when we got... Thomas Christensen.
Yeah. I like Christensen.
Where was he from?
I don't...
Yeah, but you weren't getting a fucking retro Cypriot top.
No,
were you?
I don't think I was. But yeah, I did like the guy. But yeah, Bielsa's that step up.
Didn't like him that much.
I didn't like him that much.
To be honest, I didn't mind Heckingbottom when he first came. You know? I didn't mind him. He was annoying, but he wasn't evil. He wasn't a cunt. You know what I mean?
I'd given up caring at that point.
His football was fucking terrible, though.
Yeah.
And eventually he got more and more annoying. But he was a kind of a nice person. He was a Yorkshireman. Like, I didn't feel that bad about him. But as time grew on, it was a bit like, all right, fuck off now, man.
The Steve Evans era did for me. I absolutely hated football, and more specifically Leeds United, when Steve Evans was in charge. It was... the worst period to be a Leeds fan.
The Steve Evans era, I got a massive flashback of that because somebody tried to use Diego Arga as an example of when we bought a player and we expected him to be fantastic. It's like, don't you remember when we bought Diego Arga from Brentford and we thought he was going to be fantastic? Fucking no, hell. None of us thought that. Not one person.
God almighty. Yeah.
Were you 14 and that was the first signing that you'd ever seen the club make?
He's
going to be great, this guy. We've got to sign him. Look at this.
I remember his first game, Steve Evans. We played Blackburn and we went behind after 2 minutes and I was at a bonfire display and I just got the notification we were losing. Yeah, fine. Whatever.
It is what it is.
Don't matter.
Just shows you how far we've come, though, isn't it, from stuff like that.
Yeah.
From pre-seasons of people in rivers to...
He made some kind of bet with Chiellino or... Can't remember who was owner then.
Yeah, it was Chileno.
He was. Yeah, there were so many fucking owners, and there were so many fucking managers. And I just try and forget it all anyway. It was like one bad long nightmare. Yeah. But yeah, he made some kind of bet with Chileno that if they stayed up, or if we stayed up, or we got 15th or some shit, that he was going to wear, he was going to come in with Hawaiian shirt and flip flops and a fucking sombrero.
Oh, no, that was that.
What was that all about?
That was when he was managing Rotherham.
Yeah, he turned up on Road.
He turned up at Elland Road in the sombrero, because that was his whole thing. As, oh, you know, if we're safe by the time we got to Leeds, I'll go in a sombrero. And that's when he turned up with that.
Oh, that was it.
Imagine being able to rock up to the Leeds West Brom game last game of the season with that sombrero.
I think the bet he took with Chileno was to lose weight, but he used it by putting white stuff up his nose, allegedly. And he dropped a lot of weight, if you notice, and then left the club and put on a lot of weight. So
it's almost like he had an inside track on that one.
There was a lot of alleged rumours about certain things going around at that point in time.
In the boardroom level.
In the boardroom level, yeah.
How far we've come, eh? How far we have come as a football club.
We've come from a previous owner and want to be new owner, planting cameras and mics in the boardroom to listen to our new owner to try and get something on him to buy the club. Just and Vern Troyer to where we are now. So I kind of like going back and just looking at the bullshit that went on to the point that we'd look at it happen and go, that's Leeds. That's just what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
To now, and it's just you have to look back to see how far you've come. And Vern Troyer is that epoch that I use to see how far we've come. And if you look quite far back, he's really far away because he's only tiny.
The strangest thing is, however strange that was, we saw that as normal at the time. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, another new complete fuck up. Great.
There's Terry George, Mini Me, and Chileno's daughter. On
Terry
the
George's
stands.
Calendar. Oh my fucking word!
He blocked me, Terry.
Did he?
But the reality is that actually, Leeds are a massive club, and Leeds should be in Europe, and this is the normal. And when you dick City, like we dicked them in the second half, five shots on target to none, and we dominated possession against them. When you look at what they have been able to do in the past few seasons in the Premier League, 100 points season, 98 points season, I know they've been on a bad run of form for the last 18 months. They're still managed by Pep Guardiola. They still cost an absolute fortune. And look what we did to them. Yeah. And I feel like anybody who is associated with Leeds does know that now we are back and we can push on from here. And this is the new normal that we've waited for so long. And it feels so fucking good. Feels so fucking good to be Leeds.
I think the thing is, we're going to go into every game because Bielsa doesn't care about the opposition. We're going to play the same way regardless of who we're playing. Mm. And that'll win us more points and win us more games than it'll lose us this season. Definitely.
If we go up, we can't go up any further than this. That's how conditioned I am. If we stay up by one point, we've won that point today, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's how good that is today.
Yep. What are we going to do for the next 2 weeks, boys?
I don't know. Work, probably.
International football. I suppose we can watch Calvin play. Shit.
Yeah, just do a podcast on the 3 minutes that Calvin plays. Oh, Grealish is come on. Bye, boys. See ya.
We've got liner notes of each second of him playing. And then the 23rd second that he was on the pitch... What I noticed was...
Yeah, he's gone for a longer stud, have you noticed?
One thing I did notice was that Mike Dean is a little bit of a dick.
He's a celebrity ref.
I didn't really...
He's the epitome of a celebrity ref. He wants the show to be about him. And he looks like Jasper Carrot, so I cannot take him seriously in the slightest.
And have they changed the handball rule?
Who knows?
Already.
No one knows.
Somebody at the pub told me that they've changed it already and said that use your common sense to referees. That's what they've told them, apparently, in the last week.
Well, a nation that is very good with common sense. If referees
have evolved a common sense, I didn't hear about it in the biology magazine. That's for sure.
Yeah, no one knows what handball rule is anymore. No. Redknapp was his head was going to explode at full time because he was trying to explain it and it just didn't work.
Every time City were around our box and they were having shots and we were blocking it, yeah. I was fucking petrified.
I was waiting for the VAR check and the penalty to be given.
Yeah, it was coming, wasn't it? They were shouting for a penalty every time. And every time we blocked it or it just hit somebody randomly, I just thought, it's going to be a fucking penalty again.
Mm.
And we're going to lose this game where we deserve at least a point.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that the Russian roulette of the fucking handball rule didn't shoot us in the head again.
Yeah.
Basically, the guys that were on VAR were watching Netflix instead of watching the game. So they missed the tackle that Dallas did towards the end because that I was worried about that. I thought he's going for this.
Yeah, as soon as you saw Mike Dean walking over, I thought, that's it, he's on.
He gives him a yell and it's like, oh, couldn't. It's like, oh, it's a VAR check. Like, oh, for fuck's sake, isn't that a double jeopardy rule here? Yeah, he survived, which is good because I think he's really important. He's the last really important player. As much as Harrison is as well. So we get him back for Wolves, which is good.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the fantastic thing so far is we've been blessed without too many injuries. So touch all the wood and cock that you've got so that we don't get them. And I think there's maybe a couple of days left in the transfer market.
Yeah, late Monday.
I think we'll dip back in.
So I've heard talk of us going in for Benrahma, which is a bit of left field. There's a couple of Dan James, obviously. There's a report that we put in 25 million for Dan James, which I cannot fathom why we'd do that.
No. No. That's clickbait. Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting. I think today shows that we do need the additions, I reckon, for us to compete. But I think Radrizani's plan isn't for us to compete for top six this season anyway, so he probably won't sanction any more money. I don't know. The Cuisance, the Mickey Cuisance thing has put us out to sea. But we'll see.
Yeah. I think we'll get one more in.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we just need a bit more depth. I think just talking about getting injuries has scared me to death again. So I think, just a little bit more depth. I mean, if we have the money and we can get DePaul and the Pozos can stop being such bozos and just give us DePaul, then I think we should definitely make that happen. I mean, maybe they'll get desperate and just say, okay, you can have them for 20.
They'll blink on transfer deadline day. They'll lower that price.
Yeah, because Radrizani was fighting talk as well, because he was saying, oh, we're not going to buy him. I don't think anybody's going to buy him. So it's basically saying, your only bidder accepts my best offer on eBay. And
I think the thing with Udinese is that he's the one who's kept them up, essentially. Without him, they're a bit fucked. So it's a bit like the Zaha at Palace situation. So while he might not be as valuable as that to us, he's certainly incredibly valuable to them. So that's probably where it comes from. But yeah, I think regardless of that, whatever, I think maybe one or two more, and I kind of can't believe I'm saying that because this has been the best transfer
Window,
that's it. Fucking hell. I was very naughty in my 20s, kids. Don't do drugs. It's probably the best transfer window I've ever seen, you know, barring a Risdale special where he was just spunking cash
that's
everywhere.
That's the thing, Risdale's transfer windows were good because it was money. And you saw lots of high figures thrown about, but you don't see the shrewdness that we've done here. What we've got players that actually are in positions that we need, are better than we already have and improve as a team. Seth Johnson never improved us as a team. And the amount of money we spunked on that guy.
Oh, God, no.
Crazy.
That's we agreed a fee of £9 million for Seth Johnson, but because we had to take out loans to buy him, the repayments ended up being £30 million. We paid £30 million for fucking Seth Johnson, who of course he immediately got injured.
Yeah.
It's night and day, isn't it? So yeah, it probably is the best transfer window. I mean, certainly in my lifetime.
Yeah, for mine as well. I think only Yeboah.
So it's just being greedy.
That was pre-transfer windows when we bought Yeboah. So
yeah.
Yeah, true. fuck, that was a great player. Okay, so let's maybe wrap it up here. So final thoughts, gentlemen?
Going to win the league.
We're going to win the league.
No, my final thought, there's nothing to worry about in this league. If that's the best, Liverpool the best that this league's got, we've gone toe-to-toe both of them and we're going to be fine. Absolutely fine.
Yeah, I think we're absolutely fine. I think we probably need to be on his guard for bids for the talent that we've got in January. Because I think a lot of people are going to look at players like Ian and Calvin and think they've made the step up and some. So they might come in with some stupid money that Radrizzani won't be able to refuse. But we should keep him because I think he understands the ambition of keeping a player over having money in the bank. So we should be good.
Yeah, definitely.
That's my final thought. Thank you, Jerry Springer.
I mean, if someone comes along and gives us £65 million for Pervada, I don't mind that when you can buy such quality players for £20 million already. But it obviously it just depends.
Yeah, so £60 million is two Seth Johnsons.
I was really just stalling time for my final thoughts. I never end. My thoughts never end. That's the other reason why I'm really thin. This whole podcast has just been about why I'm ridiculously thin.
Welcome to the Roaring Peacock podcast and why I'm thin.
An unhealthy level of thinness.
We can do my why I'm fat next week. It's genetics and pizza.
That'll be a short one. No, brilliant, brilliant, fucking fantastic. What a performance. I was scared to death after 5 minutes and worried after 20 minutes. And then we just kicked in. We pushed it up another level and what a game. Like, people still talk about the Bilbao versus Barcelona 2-2 draw as one of the great games of football. If you were able to get a copy, you have to watch that as a football lover. And I think this was very similar, I think, and it stands alongside the first half an hour of the season at Anfield, which was just fireworks and explosions going off everywhere. This was built up as a huge tactical battle between Bielsa and Guardiola, and that's exactly what it was. It was just beautiful to watch, and I couldn't eat it all, and I couldn't drink it all in on the first go. And I'm definitely going to have to watch this game again. Certainly before we talk again on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was that. It was okay. That. Sorry, last thing, final thought. Take care of each other.
PPS.
But it was that fast paced and not much happening. They couldn't show replays of the penalty claims because they couldn't take the cameras away from the action to show you what had gone wrong. Because there was just so much going on, and you never see that. Premier League games I've watched, like while we've been in the Championship, if I've watched like casually, it's been boring as fuck. And this is just this. Yeah. We're different, and we're Leeds, and this is it. That's it. I'm done now. I won't say anything more. I'll turn my mic off.
We're different. We're Leeds, and this is it. What an ending! Fantastic. So that was the Leeds United 1 Manchester City 1 match review. Leeds United are in the top 5 of the Premier League. I know it's only 4 games, but wow, we're back. We are fucking back, baby. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Adonis, and it's a very goodbye from me. You can follow me on Twitter if you want, or if you don't, then that's also understandable. I'm at the Adalites. Ross is from the Man on the Post pod. Say a very goodbye, Ross.
Yeah, goodbye. You can follow me at RossBow1984. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, give Ross a follow. He needs it. And finally, at Riot Badger, Alex.
Yeah, don't follow me. I mean, you can do, but you will be disappointed sorely. So
it's twice you've been told now. Don't follow.
Thank you.
Alex.
Good night. Sleep well.
We are at Peacock's Raw. Are we? Yeah. Is that our thing? At Peacock's
you
Raw.
You set it up.
subscribe and follow. That was your match review. We'll see you next time. Thank you and goodbye.
Most of our stats come from LUFC Stats or LUFC Data on Twitter. You should probably give them a follow as they're more interesting than us. A very special thanks to Adam Elliott, Adam Warner, Barney Stewart, Cookie, Ed McIntyre, Ewan and Howard Metcalf, Josh Pearson, Laura, Leon, Nige and Rob, The Light Show and all our family and friends. So many games to play, don't care what's up.